can be something else. And even if there are no girls there, doesn't mean that you can't do that. Maybe you're gonna be the first, maybe you're gonna be the pioneer, who knows? But you just need really to kind of like believe yourself, don't be scared when it comes to new things.
My name is Chris Campbell, and this is Creative Catalyst, the podcast that sheds light on creative journeys within the industry. In this season, we're going to be talking to creatives from around the world about their experiences from the grassroots up. They're going to be sharing their perspective, stories, and advice they'd give to others, as well as just giving us a slice of what it took for them to get to the position they're in today. My guest today is an artist based in London. Learning her craft at the Academy of Fine Art in Venice, she has had a career spanning 12 years in the industry. Having exhibited around the world and even in the Houses of Parliament, she has learnt loads over her journey and shares her views today. Her name is Laura Benetton, and in this episode, we talk about finding your identity in your teens, truly mastering your craft, and the way in which she finds inspiration. Laura Benetton, I'm excited to chat to you today about all of your art, everything you've been doing, especially over the recent couple of years. I'm absolutely in love with the colours you use in your art.
They're so bright.
They're everything we need with art right now. I feel like they're always pick-me-ups, and your butterfly and bird work, the stuff you've been posting recently, I'm a big fan of. So I can't wait to dive into all of that.
Okay. Yeah.
But as you know, I always like to start with a quote. But before that, just so everyone knows how you're doing, how are you doing? Laura, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, despite the weather, you know, that's like a little bit grey, we don't know if it's going to rain or not, but actually I'm really good, I'm feeling good, and you know, quite exciting about our conversation, so
I love
interviewing and chatting. So.
As we've spoken about, you are professional at interviews now that you've done 8 in the last like month and a half, so it's going to be great. And I agree with the question mark in the sky. I've now looked and you're right. I don't know if it's going to rain or if it's going to be sunny. And this would only happen on a British podcast because we love talking about the weather.
So it's, yeah. And also, I think just like open, you know, a lot of possibilities in terms of like, oh, you know, who knows? And then all about that, you know, we don't know. It's very creative. It's all about being more creative. So I found English weather really inspiring. I must say.
What?
Yes,
I've never had this conversation.
Really?
How do you find it inspiring?
I don't know. I think that when it comes to weather, when you see the sky that is gray, and then you kind of got this feeling about being nostalgic and maybe, you know, melancholic. And I think there's something about you know, inspiration, because you want to know more. You know, when it's sunny, you just want to get out and enjoy the weather and then being happy and then have your coffee takeaway, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to, you know, this gray, it's more like a mystery. So maybe, you know, it's more about you want to kind of like retire yourself in a corner and read a book, or maybe make an interesting research, or maybe have a walk in the wood, maybe even if it's going to rain, which is making even more interesting. So I think that when it comes to British weather, I think that most of the talents that this, you know, country has, maybe it's because of the weather.
Because we stay inside more?
I don't know. I think that
we read more. That's it.
encourage creativity. I'm kind of like, I really believe that. Because imagine that if we are living in a country which is always kind of like very, you know, where the weather is very hot and sunny, do you think that we're going to kind of like, you know, produce more work? I don't think so. I think that most of the people will be outside enjoying, you know, more, you know, their social life and then going party. And then, yes, of course, they need to work, but I don't think that's going to be the same. I think that encourage actually reflection. I think that the British weather is really catalyst of talent because of the weather condition as well. I always be thinking about that, even with the poets and music, the music industry. You've got like such an amazing, you know, a wide range of talents since ever. So I was wondering why. And I think because of the weather.
Yo, I love that. And you've been you're Italian, right? So
yes.
having maybe a more consistent, nice weather there.
Yes.
And then coming here, did you feel like you suddenly started to reflect more inside?
Definitely. I think that actually I did produce most of my work since I moved to England in the 2010.
Wow.
And I think that actually in terms of research, I was able to focus more, maybe because of the English weather. I must say that I think that this country offers quite a lot of opportunity, but in terms of, you know, even like environment, it's very green. So you've got loads of park and then which are really, really good taken care of. So I think that I found this aspect of England really inspiring, and I feel very comfortable with this because I like walk, and it's essential for me. If I'm not walking at least 20 minutes a day, half an hour a day, I'm not sure about what's going to happen there in terms of like studio work. I must say that this country is really inspiring me when it comes to my creativity more than Italy. I love my country, I love Italy, but being a creative is something else. And I think that there are some conditions that can actually help you to develop your creative practice in a better way.
I've never had that perspective before, so that's really, I really like that. Now I feel like I'm getting more out of my days because there's a big question mark in the sky of what the weather will be. So yeah, I'm totally down. I'm totally on that train.
Actually, if you know that it's going to be a thunderstorm, if you know that it's going to, you know, you're going to have like quite a rainy day, you know, one of these days that it's going to be really dark outside, you know, just like you can even premeditate your best work. You can even say, oh God, Friday, you know what, it's going to raining so much, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my best interview. I'm going to do my best thesis just that day.
I'm going to do it. I'm totally on. That's it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things someone said to me literally only like a week ago, and I've been trying it out when you were talking about walking there, was especially for a lot of people who are working from home now, and I'm doing quite a bit of that, it's trying to have that distinction between when work is happening and when your own time is happening, where you can have downtime and give yourself that space. Yeah. And someone I was chatting to goes, oh, I go for a walk at the end of my day, like at 6 o'clock if I was working until then. When I, even though I'm in the same house I was in, I go for a 30-minute walk or a 20-minute walk, like you were saying. And then when I come back into a space that is my home rather than my studio, or rather than my space where I'm doing my other work or things like that. And I suddenly, that like really shifted for me, because I was going on walks in the evening, but I wasn't having a distinction between work and then personal time and giving myself that space. And that really has helped me now. So when I do have those days, I then go for a 30-minute walk, I come back and it's a different place. I'm changing my mindset of the space I'm entering. I know that during lockdown, your studio became your home. Did you find it quite hard to shut off during that time? Or was it like you had it, it was hard to actually start because everything was in this same space for you?
Was actually a little bit, strange, because I was, you know, waking up in the morning and actually, you know, entering the living room. Oh, wow. So this is going to be my studio space. You're going to like feel yourself in the same, you know, in the same outfit kind of, because, you know, you just, okay, you change your apron, you can jumpsuit, but it's all about the same energy. It's all about the same energy. And I don't want to say that I'm feeling comfortable with the same energy, but I think that when it comes to work, I think if it's possible, it's important to change a room, change a studio, or having, you know, a different space, an outside space in which is different from your house, because the energy that you're putting in that room is a different kind of energy. And then maybe you don't want to necessarily just like bring this back with you at home.
Is that energy something that you feel like you can get depleted of? Or is that something which is kind of evergreen for you?
I mean, for me, energy is very important, because it's part of also what I'm doing with my work. I'm talking about energy and the movement. So I think that is important that you first you create a neutral space in which you can start to create and transform the energy of the space. sometimes what I do also is just like burn a little bit of like Palo Santo and go in all the corner of the room and make it sure that I'm like, you know, create a new, fresh and different energy, just because I want to make sure that from that point now on, it's going to be a new thing. It's going to be a new step, new jumping into something different. And also, if I feel that there's something going on the, if I feel that there's a negativity in the air, I might not start to work.
Is that something where it's something that you feel within yourself, or you feel like when you enter that space, there's something there and you kind of just give yourself a little bit of time before you then begin?
Both of them, both of them.
I usually start off with a quote which someone has brought to me or brought to the group, or a mantra. What have you brought with you today, Laura?
I brought with me a quote from Heraclitus, which was like a Greek philosopher, which said that basically everything flows and nothing still stays still. And I brought this quote because when I was in my high school, when I discovered the word of Heraclitus, it just like mine was a big wow. Wow, yes, this is the truth. This is what I truly believe, that everything change, everything flow, and nothing stay the same. And I think that since that point in my life, I embrace this quote, which I'm embracing even now. And I think that is kind of like the secret of life. So, you know, we are energy movement. We all have these particles and atoms that are moving in the space. So it's impossible to have a feeling that everything is static. So, and when we have movement, when we see energy movement, even from thoughts or from an action, we know that we are living in the space. We are alive. Explaining life or explaining what you're doing, I think that the important thing is like taking action and moving in the space, moving in your life, moving with your thought, with your research, with your studying. I think that is really important. So, yeah.
I was listening to an interview, and what struck me in the first thing which they asked you, because this was an interview with yourself, they were going like, so what is your art? And the first thing you said is, well, people say that I'm an abstract artist. And I noticed you found that interesting, that I feel like people like to put people in boxes, like you were saying, like being an abstract artist.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that whole process is again the same with, do you feel like you do like to call yourself an abstract artist, or do you like to not put a label on it? Because it could be in 4 years' time, you're still an artist, but it's not this abstract that you're going down.
Thank you. Thank you for this. Because, you know what, I think that you're the first person that you wanted to talk about this labeling thing, that I agree totally with you. So the people, I don't know if my gallery is so great, they started to call me abstract artist. They labeled me as an abstract, but if you ask me, I don't feel like an abstract artist at all. Mm. Actually, I didn't even know that I was an abstract artist. My background is quite academic, so I had my degree in Venice at the Fine Art Academy in 2008. So I've been studying, you know, anatomy. I've been studying semiotic, everything. Academically, and I was painting in a kind of like figurative and hyper-realistic way. So if you ask me how did it happen, the thing is like, I don't know. I think that actually when you know something very well, when you have a full knowledge of a topic, like for example drawing or painting, you know, my knowledge in terms of drawing and painting, I could say is a proper knowledge. So I know all about technique, I know all about drawing, I can reproduce any subject. I can, if you want, I can draw a portrait of you just right now. So I can do that.
Do it.
Because
I'm ready.
I can do that because I've been studying for quite a long time. So, but the beautiful thing is that then something happened because you're an artist, because you're a creative, because you're passionate about your research. So for me, happened about inspiration. And then something, you know, when I graduated, it was the end of my study, which means, yes, have been studying painting, I've been studying fine art and drawing, but doesn't mean that I would have become an excellent figurative oil painter. Then it started my research, and I have been inspired from something else, like nature, like colors, like science.
So you're someone who's actually gone through quite a high level of education with regards to your art.
Yes. Yes.
I always find it interesting when I talk to different creatives from different walks of life and different journeys they've taken. It really is a massive split. Like, not everyone goes to university to study what they do now. A lot of people go to university and study something totally different. Some people choose that they don't want to go to university even if they don't know what they want to do. And some people choose to not go because they know what they want to do and they know that that won't aid their outcome. Yeah. Being an artist, if we go all the way back, we're going back to the origin story now, Laura, so be ready. Be ready.
Okay, I try to do my best.
But like we said, you're not from the UK. You're actually from Italy yourself. Born and raised in Italy, and was it art that was always your thing, or was it something that you found a little bit later in life? What did you do as a kid? What was Laura at 6 years old? Go on, tell us.
So I was an athlete. I was a synchronized swimmer.
Whoa, I like it.
So yeah, so I started to compete professionally since, you know, the early age, like 6-7 years old. So my life was made of swimming, water, listening to music underwater. So yeah, so basically I spent most of my childhood between 6 and 15 years old in a swimming pool. Even if I had my brother or sister at home, funny thing is that I don't have much memory of me playing with my brother and sister, because my life was school and training in the swimming pool and dancing, and then come back home, homework, and then go to sleep. Social life, big no. So we didn't. I didn't have time for social life. Yeah, we had kind of like family crisis around when I was like 13, and then my mother couldn't commit anymore to take me to the swimming pool, and for some reason I quit my career. And basically, what happened after that? I felt quite lost. And I was very young, because I was 16 years old. And I remember well that year, because I was really lost. I found myself in high school and I wasn't even, you know, kind of like able to socialize, basically, because, because I never had a proper social life.
It just wasn't. Yeah, that's such a good point. Like, you just don't have, you've not grown up doing that. So you're like, how do you start conversations with people?
I mean, I had a social life with the girls of the swimming pool, with the athletes, which was great. But we were kind of like, we were very disciplined. We were very competitive. Social life, it's not the same thing about competitors. Yeah. And then,
there's slightly less higher stakes going on. There's not as high stakes. Sorry, it's
and then you have also this very high standard. So it was really interesting, because I learned a lot about myself. And then suddenly I started to draw. And then, funny enough, that I could draw perfectly a profile of a woman, which I think was my mother, if I think back on time. And I was like, whoa, what is that? I didn't even know that I could draw. I think that was the worst in my class when it came to art, the worst. In terms of like color composition and understanding and mixing color, absolutely, I was, you know, a big no. But when I saw this drawing, I was like, what's going on here? I found that this was my way of expression. And I don't know why, but I was, you know, putting so much details and things, because maybe I think that in that point I was putting my obsession. Because when you are disciplined, when you're competitive, when you're an athlete, you are obsessed with your skills. Everything needs to be so perfect. So in a kind of way, while I was drawing, I was adding details in a way that was like more like taking out the obsession of something else and then putting on another thing. So then I started to draw, and I started to care a little bit less of my high school as well, which my mom was, you know, very, very angry about it. Oh, but really? Everything ended fine. And then after that, my best friend decided to not tell me. And then he enrolled me to the Fine Art Academy, which was a little bit difficult for me and him, because we did have to attend a 1-week exam in order to see if we could be, you know, enrolled in the program, because we didn't have an artistic background in the high school. So I've been studying languages, so Spanish, German, and English. We didn't came from a kind of like an artistic orientated school. So when this happened in Italy, you have to go through selection process, and it's a 1 week exam in which you have like anatomy and everything, like personal drawing, blah, blah. And yeah, so we both passed the exam, and then we started our new chapter, which was the Fine Art Academy.
Wow. And so before that, your education with regards to your art, was that, so that wasn't in school, languages was what you were taking there?
Where
were you picking up that? I know I heard that it was you made friends with a lot of people who were doing graffiti at the time, like that where you learned some of your craft? What did that look like?
Very interesting. I don't know how did you do that, but it's really interesting that you know that. Yes, exactly. So what happened basically, when I quit my career in the swimming, in the synchronized swimming, and I started to have like a normal life in the high school, I couldn't kind of like label myself as like the normal nice girl, like going out for a pizza, the disco, and then well dressed, so with the you know, well, like all the other girls of, you know, that time. And then I found actually very interesting the guys that were doing like breakdance and graffiti. The only thing that was like all male, and then were kind of like very, you know, kind of like they had this kind of like strong personality, and then cold. and then, you know, it was really, really hard to kind of like find the connection with them. And I was able to hang with them for a long time, for like 5-6 years. They've been teaching me how to use the spray, how to paint on the wall. And then I started with graffiti. And then, yes, we had a kind of like code of behavior, and seeing that we were kind of like allowed to do or not. It was really interesting, kind of a proper like 90, I don't know, life in terms of, and then it actually opened the door to me for a different world, a world in which actually art, yes, again, create a catalyst of people that they have a common interest and come together, and then can help you to understand a little bit more of yourself, can help you to understand that you don't have to, you know, convince yourself that you have to be something else. Because I actually recognized myself, the inside of Laura wasn't the kind of like Laura like the other girls in the school. I was something different. So compromise as well, it was something. So I tried to never to compromise myself, my integrity, my ethic, my values. And I instead was researching about what I really found more in line within my personality, and I found that these guys, this group of guys, were actually what I needed in that moment in my life. It was kind of an open window to something different, like, yes, they are creative, and yes, you can be something else, and even if there are no girls there, doesn't mean that you can't do that. Maybe you're going to be the first. Maybe you're going to be the pioneer. Who knows? But what I want to say, you just need really to kind of like believe yourself, and then don't be scared when it comes to new things. You know, possibilities and doors are opening, I think, like every single minute. It's just up to you to decide whether or not you want to open the door, enter this gate. If you ask me now, I think I was brave to embrace that path. On that moment in my life, because I think that when you're coming from a story like mine, so really committed to a career of being an athlete, it's so hard that you can find, you know, a normal life after this career. So you can really feel lost at such an early age. So I think that was really good for me, kind of like understand, and finally a way in which I can express myself through them, through their art, through their teaching.
Like you were saying, going from a very competitive athletic background,
yeah,
and then suddenly that being taken away from you and having that identity crisis, but being able to find something that you could identify with and connect with. Do you feel like the work ethic that came from that first part of your life really has aided in everything you've done up until now, just because, like you were saying, your structure of your day was so solid and you were so used to that, that that was the norm from a child, whereas yeah. some other people might be very free-flowing, and then they can, I know that I find it hard sometimes to actually structure my day and actually get something out of it. Do you feel like that's been quite a help for you?
First thing I learned that actually, if you put the time, if you put the effort, if you put the hours, you can reach something, you can achieve something. So I think that for me was a big lesson. So just trust the process, you know, yeah. even with, you know, you don't know and you can't see the result now, but it's going to be a long-term thing. You need to trust the process. It's like an athlete, you're training every day from scratch, so you don't have, you know, the muscle potential. You are training, you're at the beginning, but you trust the process that maybe 1 year, 2 years, you're going to be there. It's long-term trust. And this is part of also what I'm thinking right now. So I'm not scared about long-term commitment. I know that it's all about process. It's all about believing in something that it's built day by day from you. And yeah. I don't believe in things that are happening overnight. And definitely, I think that it was really important in terms of like life lesson, being structured, have a disciplined timetable, know what you're doing. And I'm using, you know, every day in my life as well. I need to have this structure. I need, especially with, you know, self-employed and artists. If you don't have that, I don't know how can you survive.
Yeah. So how do you find you structure your day? Is that through, do you do a note of everything you need to get done, or do you feel like you just have a formula that you just use every day to get stuff done?
It's not a formula that is like fixed, but yes, I've got things that are always the same. So I know that after I drop my daughter to school, I go straight to the studio. I spend there a few hours, and then usually I plan the night before a little bit of the points that I want to, you know, finish by the end of the next day. And then I like the cross line making. Yeah. I love that when I can like mark
something off or crossing it off.
Yeah, I love that. It's just like, you know, with the marker, I take it off and then I mark a big black line on my notebook, which means like done. I love that. It makes me feel that I'm progressing, I'm evolving, I'm following something that is actually, it's my way of dealing with things. I don't have any boss. I'm the boss of what I'm doing. So it's very interesting.
With that as well, I guess that structure being so prevalent, I feel like something else that comes with professional sports, especially in the way that you did it, which is all down to people marking your work. How do you find people looking at your work now and sharing their opinions with you? Is that something that you seek out from the background of always getting graded for your work with the athlete? Do you feel like that's something that has translated, or is that something you kind of left as you left being a professional athlete?
I must say that your question are really a top level question. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Especially this one, because yes, you're right, there's something. Let's say that until like 6 years ago, something like that, when someone was look at my work and maybe just give me some feedback or showing appreciation or commenting my work, I was more scared. I was finding that the impact of their evaluation was really, really affecting me. So I must say that it was more like 80 and 20. So my confidence was kind of like, yeah, I wasn't confident at all. I found that it was so, so much important, their evaluation. And then I remember that I was very frustrated if someone wasn't actually, you know, having a very, you know, nice opinion of my painting, of my work. And then I started to, you know, question a lot myself and my work. But I think that everything comes in life in order for you to learn something else. So I changed a lot in the past 6 years. And I must say that today, yes, feedback, maybe I prefer to call it like feedback, is important. And confrontation is essential if I think you want to progress and evolve and discuss your work and get ready to to open even your world to other possibilities. But no one else more than you can be in your shoes. So I think that it's important to understand and remember ourselves that we don't need to allow other people to really, you know, taking out what is all about our work, and then let them having the power in terms of opinion. So you need to be strong and be solid and radical when it comes to your opinion. So you know what you're doing. No one more than you know what you are doing, and you need to remember that. Let the other critic your work, talk about your work, write about your work, that's fine. But remember that you don't need their opinion to affect your well-being as well. Because I think that in this point, maybe we are also talking about well-being. Mm. Like, I think that being an artist is very hard in terms of well-being and health, because we are going through a lot of like up and down. So we can have moments in which our career is going, you know, like everything is marvelous, is incredible. And maybe we had a fantastic show and then we sold so many paintings. And then, I don't know, I think it's something inside the artist that you kind of like start to feel, you know, this energy and this excitement. And then maybe after 6 months, you're completely on another route. You haven't sold anything. You haven't had any shows. No one is interested in your work. Maybe for some reason you also have some personal life things going on. You feel, you know, alone, depressed or sad. This is why you need to always, always, always remember what you're doing, who you are, calm the mind, quiet yourself. And if I can give some advice, it's just like having a lot of notebook, writing everywhere. You know, being able to track back your work, because when you have like some moments in your career that you're feeling, you know, low, and then you're not feeling sure about what is happening, or maybe a person that you were thinking that was really important in your life is giving you like an awful feedback, and you feel that is affecting your well-being, you need to kind of like relax, come back in the studio, look up, you know, look back at everything in terms of like what you have been doing in the past years. Look back at your portfolio, look back at your experience, your show, the people that have talked about you. Look about your work, feel your work, and, you know, just like be able to yourself, to critique yourself and say, this is normal. This is real life, right? Mm. This is life is made also of these things. So you need to actually accept yourself and then also believe in what you're doing.
It's not something you learn overnight. It's worked at. Totally
this
agree.
Conversation would have been different 6 years ago.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you acknowledge that. And I know that it's something I've always worked on, which is taking other people's opinions on, but not letting that define who you are as a person.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so key, which is like you can get those people you greatly respect and you can get their feedback, and that stuff you can take to heart. And they can be the ones who are incredibly honest with you and what they think. And then you can have the other set of people who you will listen if they do say something, but you won't take that to heart in the same way that you would from that core of people that you trust their opinion. I think it's so key. And also the way you talked about like the value, the 80-20, 80% value was from other people and 20% was your own value on yourself. And I think as a creative, it is so key to try and make that balance way more in your favor, because if you hold all your value in other people's opinions, then it can literally crush you when stuff isn't going well.
Yeah.
And you really need to work on the value you hold in your own heart to actually, we're getting very spiritual here, more than my other episodes, but I think it's the value you hold in your own heart is what can keep you working. And like you're saying, it's a long journey, it's not overnight. And if all the value you hold is from other people's opinions, you might not last very long doing what you want to do if you want to make it a career.
Yeah.
So to just really work on keeping that value within yourself. So even if everything is crumbling around you, you know in your heart of hearts that this is what you want to do, and you'll keep going. So Laura, coming out of university, you've done fine art. You're just about to try and start a career. Looking back at what you did at university, were there things from that were like, wow, I'm so glad I did that university experience and I studied what I did, were there things that you really have taken and you've kept with you since then?
Definitely. Definitely. I'm just answering yes, just because I couldn't draw at all. So what happened for me, it was more like, I don't know, hidden talents, if we want to call it, you know, by that. But yeah, basically, I just discovered that I could draw at 16 years old. And yes, I was drawing, but I didn't know anything about drawing. So let's talk about shading, nothing. Shading, light, using acrylic, nothing at all. And actually, it was really hard for me the first couple of years at fine art, because I was kind of like surrounded from all these amazing students coming from an art school, from the high school. And I knew everything, all the technique, using charcoal. I didn't even know what, you know, what charcoal was. You know, I was, to be honest, yeah. For me, it was like a learning journey, hiding the fact that I wasn't, you know, I didn't know anything, basically. So it's just like, oh, yes, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, oh, great. And actually, I put so much effort and time during my classes because I wanted to be on their level. So without my fine art degree, I don't think that I could be the person that I'm right now. I learned everything in terms of like color, composition, drawing, anatomy, technique, everything. And also, in addition to that, I was experimenting a lot. So I was using different mediums. And then I was studying different subjects. And then art and music, semiotic, other subjects. So it was really, really important for me. And then I also, something that I would advise other people in terms of career, if they're coming, you know, just finished the high school and they want to embrace a career in the art, I think that it's important that you know what you're doing. Just before experimenting, you need to know what you're doing. So experimentation arrives later. So find your style is something difficult, and then will arrive at some point in your life. But before that, I think that you should have a knowledge of your tools. It's like someone that is interested in math and then want to solve a super difficult equation about something, but doesn't know his timetable. So you need to start from the basic and then understand your tools and what you're doing in order to allow yourself to experiment and then try something else. Even for me, installations, sculptures, and then different media. If I wouldn't have my degree, I don't think that it's something that necessarily would have happened in my life, because it was more about me understanding that I wanted to escape the second dimension and I wanted to go on the third dimension. So I think that it's about also how your brain is connecting ideas, and then you need to be motivated and have different stimulus if you think that you want to develop your practice. So you need to find this. So where do you find that? You need to research, and then maybe you can do some workshop, you can do some...
So it seems like the whole backbone of your knowledge was from that fine art degree that you were doing.
Yeah.
And with that experimentation, is that when you found the style that you've got now? Or is that something that has come on later just through even more experimentation? Like, what did Laura art-wise look like when you left uni?
Very figurative, very academic, and I was experimenting, but I was experimenting more with anatomical figures, so it was completely different. And then I was lucky because I applied for an art residence award, and I was selected from the foundation of Arnaldo Pomodoro in at that time. So I spent 3 months in the middle of Italy, in central Italy, with 15 other stranger students. And then it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, because I mean, when could it happen, you know? And it was the right moment. I was young, and then so we stayed together 3 months. We had everything. We had we had the studio, we had the facilities, we had the house, everything. And then there I learned how to work with metals, and I did a metal sculpture for the foundation of Pomodoro. And wow. And then something happened on my brain, and I started to expand the possibilities of my, you know, of what I was thinking. So I was thinking, oh wow, so it's not only the canvas, it can be a sculpture, and maybe it can be something else. And then I started to travel. I went to Istanbul, I went to Florence, I went to Pesaro. I traveled for about like 4 or 5 years. I had an experience, we just stayed 3 months on a sailing boat and between Sicily and Sardinia without touching the ground. And I was in the middle of thunderstorm. Yeah, I had quite a lot of like stories in terms of life experience. And I jumped.
And was that
as well.
All doing art? Was that all doing after, art, like across all of that time? Or is this after? Yeah.
It just after my degree and after this artist residency, I wanted to, you know, to experiment and know more about, I think that, when it comes to life, I think that it's important that you travel and that you understand a little bit of yourself as well. So I allow myself to have those years in which I was researching and try to understand what was going on to my head. And then I arrived to London, which was quite unexpectedly, because it was a friend of mine that invited me over for a week. And then it was like, oh, Laura, you'll see, it's going to be amazing. This is the place of your life. It's going to be incredible for you, for an artist. I was like, oh, no, I don't think, it's the right place for me. I love nature. And then actually, when I arrived here and I felt the vibe and I felt the energy, I was like, oh, wait a minute. If I think that New York, London, and maybe Hong Kong, these are the only three places in the world in which if you want to have like a proper career, professional career as an artist, you have to be there. And I think London is one of them. So I was like, okay, I need to, I can't get back now. I need to stay here. And at that time, I just liked the both one-way flight tickets, and then I never got back, basically.
Wow. And was that a decision of like, I'm doing this one way, I'm not coming back, I'm going to stay within London? Or was it, I'm going to figure it out and see if it's right? Or were you pretty set that this is what you were going to do?
No, I told myself, because it was quite late. So I told myself, this is going to be hard. Because when you come from Italy, it's completely different country, different system. I remember I didn't even have like a credit card, a bank account, anything. It was so, so structured here. So you need to have like interview and the national insurance number. Everything was, back 11 years ago, I was finding myself like a primitive human. I think that in Italy, no one of my friends had kind of like a bank account. So it's, if I think back what happened in the past 11 years in terms of like technology and advanced system, in a way our lives change, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I didn't even have an iPhone or anything. I mean, it was pretty simple life at that time. Yeah. But when I arrived in London, everything was so advanced, and I needed to understand a way of living that was completely the opposite compared to my life before. But I was ready. I told myself, if I'm going to do that, it needs to be for quite a while, because I'm not going to start something that I'm going to leave it like that. And also, I'm not this kind of person. I'm quite stubborn. So I knew that if I would have started, it would have, finished at some point. But at least I should have achieved something. And it wasn't easy. It was super, super hard, I must say. I'm not talking usually about this, but I don't want to hide it. It was super, super hard the first 2-3 years. And then, the most of my career started here professionally to work as a self-employed when I rented my studio in Wimbledon. And right. My life started to be more structured. So I had my studio space and I started to paint regularly to be quite disciplined. And I started to use social media and curator and galleries started to approach me. And then I started to have a show quite regularly and then working with art consultants.
I guess social media 10 years ago wasn't really even a thing apart from maybe Facebook.
Yes, no, it was later on, probably 2015, 2016, I think. There was a big boom with Instagram at that time. And then Facebook, yeah. I think, was a big thing probably before the 2015. If you didn't have Facebook, you know, no one would be able to know a little bit
how
about
you. How do people get in contact with you?
Yeah. And then, for me, I hated like Facebook and Instagram, all of that. You know, it's. I think that it's a way to expose, a lot of yourself out there. And then I've always been quite reserved and... and I always like this side of myself. And also it's something that I like on other people. I'm more attracted to people that are quite mysterious, if I may say, something like that. Something that I need to, figure it out. And so it was quite hard. And then with the time, I understood that it's more about your business. And you need to be visible in order to, to have more... a chance for your business to be seen and to be so I started to work more with Instagram and then putting more time and effort in there, and yes, I must say that it works when it comes to social media. It works a lot
with regards to gaining work and gaining people who appreciate what you do. Social media has been quite a large route. Is there anything else you would recommend to people who are artists that you found has been really useful to find clients, or do you feel like most people find you?
Interesting. So most people find me, definitely, compared to me finding them. I think that content is something that you should actually taking care about when it comes to presentations. So I think that I can tell you this because their sentences, the phrase that they refer, most of the time they are like, we've seen this on your page, we like this on your page, we were impressed by this. So they always refer to something that they have seen in my page. Right. And then, of course, I'm also contacted a lot from brands and people that want me to work with them as an influencer. Monetizing is not a bad aspect in terms of like supporting your studio expenses, but I think that ethically you need to make sure that you like who you are working with and what are you investing on. For example, these years I have 2 or 3 nice collaborations, and then one was with a jacket, and was a pink jacket of a brand that calls Mac Overall, which is on my page. And it was great. They are a small business. They are London based. They have a physical shop in London. They're kind of like a family. So it's like when you are invited from these businesses to collaborate, and then and you can help them, but also you can have something in return. And you feel that it's mutual. The thing is mutual, and it's not affecting your ethical ideals.
I just want to get an idea of a sense of where do you find your inspiration for your work? Yeah. I know that we talked about like birds and flight and things like that, but is that your main area? And when you stand in front of your canvas at the beginning, do you have loads of notes you've made, or do you just throw stuff at the canvas and then it builds up? Or what is that process like for yourself?
Yeah, definitely I'm not throwing things immediately. It will happen later. And believe me or not, yes, in a very, very expressionist and genuine and spontaneous way. Like, yes, throwing things. But later on, my inspiration, yes, as you said before, my work is really correlated with nature and science. So birds and butterfly are part of my research, especially the... When it comes to colors, butterfly, I can tell you immediately the word butterfly, because I've been studying the colors of the butterfly of the rainforest, and I've always been fascinated about the fact that in nature we've got this color, this vivid, bright, sparkle, blue, purple. And then if you look at them, they look unnatural, but they are actually natural color. These are color from our planet. So immediately there was something inside myself telling me, you need to share this. You need to go deeper on this research with color, because the people needs to see that actually it's not about having pop color on your work. No, it's about, this is a color of nature, and nature can offer you these varieties. I think that it's important actually that people browse more the butterfly collection in museum or park, because it's something really, really interesting. In terms of movement, I'm inspired from the structure of the bird wings, and so I've been studying this as well, and I've always been fascinated about the movement and the diagonal that they have in the wings, this microskeleton, and the fact that when the basically this movement, which is a diagonal, is mostly always present in my painting. And this is because for me this is the essential equation of intention, or you can say like uplifting moment. It's just like the starting point, because when the bird, it just like started to fly, it used like a mathematical equation, which is the equation of the flight, which is from this guy called Bornelli, which is basically explained that you have like two area of pressure. What one is like ascendant and one descendant, and then in the middle you have suspension, and then this point is where actually you've got the flight, and then it's, you can resume that as like a diagonal like line or curve. And then scientists have been studying the flight of birds in order to make aircraft. So all about for me related to starting, to uplifting, to intention, is resumed and summarized in this small equation, which I kind of elaborated and mixed in my work with the colors. For this reason, you've got the colors. You can see from my work that you have like colors and movement together. And this is why it just like, fragmented and abstracted reality in which I can show you like a different perspective. And later on also, just recently, I started to use LED light in my work as an external element to kind of like empower this concept, but at the same time like reinforcing the total energy of the work, in terms of like there's a color, there's a line, and I wanted to add light also to make the work to be like stronger, and then I want the viewer to interact with the energy. I want kind of like the challenge the boundaries of the painting and create like something that is more an experience, like a real experience for the viewer. So yes, I'm kind of like really inspired by nature, and then I really take a lot of pictures, notes, I do a lot of researches, and then when it comes to my painting, you know, it's kind of like having a baby, you know, just like you wait 9 months for the delivery of the baby, and then it's going to happen in 3-4 hours, and you've got everything in front of you, and then say, okay, so it can't get wrong. Now I have to put everything that I've been studying on that canvas and make it happen. Usually for a painting, larger painting, it takes like 10 days, maximum 2 weeks. And I start with my sketch, prime the canvas, start with my sketch, use charcoal. And then I have a structure at the beginning, and then even I know where the color are going to be. And then after half of the work in terms of concept and sketching, then start the kind of like gesture, marking, intuition. And then it basically lasts until the end of the work. So I never know how the painting is going to be. From half, 50% beginning, and then the rest half, it's always a question mark. I don't know.
I love that. You can prepare so much and you know to a degree what it's going to look like, but then yeah, it can just dramatically change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on where you go with it,
can be anything. Yeah, so can be even like the wrong music, the wrong call, can be an external element. From that point, everything matters. Everything has like an absolutely importance. So believe me or not, everything is crucial.
And do you feel like that nature and that element, which seems to be such a key moment for you or a key part of your work, do you feel like that will always stay with you?
Oh, yes. Even now, my MA, I'm investigating so much deeper, everything in terms of frequency and energy and why we are here and there and the planet and our connection, that is impossible for me to change way of thinking. I think it's part of me. I think that nature is a big part of us, and we are really, really connected with nature in everything, from the food we are eating, from the place where we're living, from the sky above our head, from the weather. So everything.
And I think that all kind of like goes back to your quote as well, isn't it? Which is, everything is flowing, everything is moving. And that is so key with nature, is that flow and that movement, and nothing stays. You can see how you can find so much inspiration to that to then put onto the canvas. Laura Benetton, we're there. We're at the end.
Thank you for having me.
I've had such a good time, and you've answered some really interesting thoughts that I've had. I found it very interesting what your opinions are. We've gone slightly deeper than I usually go, so I've really enjoyed this chat. If people wanted to find you on social media, if they want to check out kind of, I know we've been talking about lots of free-flowing art and all of that, but if people want to find your work to actually be able to see what you're doing, could you direct them to the right area?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at Laura Benetton Studio, or you can browse my website, so it's www.laurabenetton.co.uk. Or Sweet. You can Google Laura Benetton, and apparently Google knows more than me in terms of like my life as an artist, so yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't know, it comes immediately, Laura Benetton, all, you know, the platform that I'm working with and everything, so.
Love that.
Yeah, it's not a big problem. You will find me.
Nice. And you can find, and if you can't find any of that, guys, like, go to Creative Catalyst Podcast on Instagram, and I'm going to be posting lots of stuff with Laura on there, so you can find her work through that and go over to her page. But yeah, Laura, thank you so much for taking the time with me today. I've had a great day, and we've still got so much of the day left. We can go out for all of the walks.
Yeah, and then, yeah, especially when it's raining, remember, you just need your umbrella. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Not at all. I tried doing that on a cycle though, and it did not work. Holding an umbrella while cycling.
I wouldn't actually
It was a health risk. I'm going to be honest, Laura. It was a health risk. It became more of a parachute.
Let's do it more like safely.
I just want to thank everyone who stayed to the very end of this episode. I really appreciate you guys spending the time with me today. If you know someone who you think would enjoy this podcast, please message it to them so they know that there are places where conversations like this are going on, where they can learn from the creatives who are doing it in the industry themselves. From me, Chris, have a great week. See you next Monday for another episode of Creative Catalysts.